I'm grateful that you're here on Mother's Day, and so we're going to talk about moms. That's only appropriate. In fact, you see the slide today. We're going to talk about the world's first mom. You know how our society is set up. We always like to interview an authority on a subject. If we're talking about war or oil or science or medicine, man, we're going to call in the authorities and CNN or Fox News. They're going to interview an authority to really give us the goods. Well, what kind of authority would you go to when it came when it comes to mothers? You might think of yourself, or you might think of your own mom. Boy, she ought to be an authority on the subject. But I couldn't think of a better authority on the subject of mothering than the world's first mom. And we find her name written for us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20. So that's the first verse we're going to look at. It might be on the screen. I can't remember if I put it up there or not. Genesis 3:20. The Bible says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." So what I'd like to do for you in the next few moments is kind of interview Eve. Now, I can't really interview Eve because Eve is no longer with us. But you know what? We can, through history, by reading books, we can kind of get a good feel of what past people are like and what they would say if they were standing here. So I want you to kind of think that way with me this morning. We're going to interview Eve. What would Eve tell you about mothering? And this is bigger than mothers. This is bigger than Eve. We're not just talking about what Eve would say, but really what God had planned. There's a law in the scripture called the law of first mention. Have you heard about this law? Usually the first time God mentions something in the scripture, he gives us a substantial amount of information that really forms the foundation of our thinking for the rest of the passages in scripture that we encounter. Boy, you just learned something real heady right now. Did you get that? That's real. So the first time we encounter a subject in scripture, you name it, when we first find it, man, we want to study it so that we get the parameters, we get the footers, we get the first level of the foundation and the basement in place of our thinking so that we really understand things the way they ought to be. Eve is a great person to do that. So we're going to interview her, find out what mothering is really all about and how we should behave toward our moms. So with that in mind, the point of the message really is just to get God's perspective on mothering so that we value mothers the way that we ought to value them. And really, when you understand this, your opinion, I believe, of mothers is going to go even higher. It's going to go, well, I put on your put in our message today that it's going to put the value of moms will just be through the roof. And that'll make more sense in just a moment. First point today, what would Eve tell us? All right, we're interviewing Eve. Eve, tell us about mothering. What would be the first thing that would come out of her mouth when it would come from mothering? And I think the first thing she would say is, mothering is good or mothering is beneficial. I really fought with terms to suggest to you, but this, I think, is the best and sums up the first thing we see about man and woman and mother and father in Scripture. This is in Genesis chapter 1. I mean, this is the very first chapter of the Bible. What does it say about moms? Look at verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now we have the first mom on the scene and the first dad. Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I think first Eve would tell us that mothering is beneficial because God set it up this way. This is the way God designed it. He designed male and female, each with uniqueness and important responsibilities in fulfilling the commission that he gave him here to be fruitful, to multiply, replenish the earth, or to fill it up and subdue it. So what I mean then is that when God was setting up the world, he could have set it up any way he wanted. We believe here that God is the creator, that people are not an accident, that you didn't evolve, that God set this whole thing up from the beginning, and he decided the best way for people to work or society to function would be with male and female, a mommy and a daddy, and most of the time, children. So at the very first, God decided he would make them male and female. He decided there would be girls and boys. Moms would marry, women would marry, bear children and help populate the earth. And this was the decision of an all-wise and benevolent creator. It is immediately evident when you read the text of Scripture here in Genesis chapter 1 that Eve did not get to pick which kind she came as. Nor did Adam. God decided he would make Adam a man and he would make Eve a woman with her own uniqueness. She didn't get to decide. She didn't get to pick. So would that make her grumpy, intolerant, upset, feel frustrated? I don't believe so. You read the chapters of Genesis and you see a woman completing her responsibility to become the mother of all living. And she's good with that. In fact, in her DNA and in every woman's sense, God programmed gender into every single one of her cells. Gender is not strictly outward. Gender is inward and it's given by God. And when God got done, he stood back, and this is what he said. Look with me at verse number 31. He's made them male and female. He's given them responsibilities, verse 28. And in verse 31, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. He set the whole world up so it would be good. He didn't get to the end and say, oops, I made a mistake. Let me retract that. Now, men think that sometimes. I need to retract that. But really, he set it up at the beginning, and he said this would be for the world's good. The blessing, in fact, look at the word verse. We have the word good, obviously, in verse 31. But what caught my attention as I was meditating and studying on the passage this week is that God blessed them. The blessing, the gift bestowed upon them was the function that they were supposed to have. And a blessing and of womanhood is the function and the role that a woman is supposed to have in this world. And part of that is to multiply and replenish the earth. And that's a good thing. Mankind then is blessed when he functions within the boundaries established by God. Does what God assigned for him to do. And Eve would tell us, it's good this way. Listen to me, I tried it out. It's good to be a mom. Mothering is beneficial. There might be some in this room, I don't think I have a hostile audience today, but there might be some in this room who would say that maybe this whole idea in our hashtag Me Too world, that being a mom or being female really isn't a good thing. And certainly there have been travesties of justice and inappropriate behavior, but overall, being female is not bad and being a mother is still good. It's good to be female. It's the way that God made you. It's good to have children. It's good to have children and fill up the earth. This is what Eve would say, but you know, even more so, this was what God would say to you and your family. It is good to have kids. You don't know the kind of kids that I got blessed with. I get that. There are days like that. There might even be whole months like that. But God would say, and so would he, mothering is good. It's good to nurture children and teach them about God. So whatever else we get from Genesis, let's not get the idea that being female is a curse. Our society would almost lead us to believe they're denied rights and equal pay. And hey, there are travesties of justice. I get that, and I'm not repudiating that or making little of that. But being female happened before the fall, and being female happened before the curse, so being female is not a curse. Being a mother is good, it's beneficial. So we find the most good in life then when we line up with God's plans and purposes, the parameters set by God. I got this lesson early in life. Have you gotten this? I remember I grew up next to the preacher's kid. He was the next door neighbor. So we kind of hobnobbed from, he was a few years older, but we would play together sometimes. One time we were standing in church and we had a Christian school and some of the kids were griping all these restrictions, handbook, student handbook, rules and regulations and dress code. And they were just getting a little grumpy, but you're never like that. But so just, it's these kids I'm talking about, all right? Getting grumpy about restrictions and boundaries and parameters. You know, and he spoke up. And he's a teenager, 16, 17, 18. You know, and well-taught, good, godly young man. Still serving the Lord as far as I know. And he spoke very wisely. He talked about fences, living inside a fence. He said to his friends, and I was just there all ears, what's the preacher kid going to say to this? You know those devil preacher kids. You know, they're always up to no good. preacher kids. Got to watch out for them. So this is what he said. He said, you know, I have discovered that living within the rules or the boundaries that are set up is like living inside a fence. And he said, most fences are not made to restrict or to hurt, but to protect. In Arizona, I'm thinking immediately, you know, every year about 20-some kids die of what? In Arizona? Drowning. So in every home, there is a fence around the pool. That's not to keep kids away from the play. That is to protect kids from being harmed. And that was the thinking of this teenager. He said, the rules, the boundaries here, they're not meant to hurt or harm us. They're here to protect us. And if we learn to play and live on the inside of the boundaries, we have great freedom and safety. And then he added this thought. When I learn to work inside the boundary, I find my parents extend the boundaries and widen them up a little bit, and I have more freedom. You know what? We in our society, we've got this all backwards. We're out there with our axe, sledgehammers. We're breaking down fences. We're going to break that glass ceiling. We're going to do it. No one's going to tell us what to do. We got to figure it out. And that isn't anywhere the spirit in the Bible. You live inside the fence, and you find when authority can trust you with doing the parameters of what God's given you to do, then the gates open up or the fence gets extended back and you have more privilege. So I want you to think about this in terms of motherhood. Is it a restriction to be female? Is it a curse to be mom? Man, some moms may feel cursed with the kids they ended up. I get that. But God says it's a good thing. And if I learn to live within the bounds of what God decided for me, a whole new world of freedom and safety opens up for me. Because God always intended it for my good. He said so. He said on the sixth day, in verse number 31, it was good, very good, everything that he made. No one in this room had a choice how they came. Eve didn't have a choice and I didn't have one. But that choice wasn't a mistake. When God got done making you and me in the womb, he stood back and he said the same thing about you that he said about me. Now that's good. Now, sometimes I've had an argument with God on that, you know. But honestly, he did look back when he got done. Psalm 139, verses 14 to 16. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth it right well. It's good. I am just the way God wanted me to be. Even with the nose I ended up with, and the ears that hang out, and the hair that sticks up, I am just the way God wanted me to be. And it's good. And you know, any woman in this room can stand up in her seat today and say, hey, I am good. I am just the way God wanted me to be. And I am here to fulfill a purpose that God has for me. And it's good. Mothering then is beneficial. Let us never disparage or put down females or the role God called them to fulfill. So being a mom's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You play an important role in God's plan for the world. And I think Eve would be the first to stand up and praise the Lord and say, God knew what he was doing, and he does all things well. You know, when you see mothering from God's perspective, the value of mothers goes clear through the roof. Number two, mothering is beneficial. Number two, mothering is a struggle. It's not always easy to be a mom. And you know what? I think Eve would be the first one to stand up, and she'd say, yeah, mothering can be difficult. And you know what? It's kind of my fault. You see, there was this day Adam and I got separated. And there was this serpent. And he said to take this fruit. And I decided. And So I think she'd almost be apologetic if we were interviewing her. She'd say, I'm sorry. Because of what I did, your struggle in life got a whole lot harder. And that's certainly what the Bible teaches. Being a mother is difficult and challenging and a struggle sometimes. Some of you know it way better than I do. Well, where do we get this idea of a struggle? How are we saying that Eve would say that? Well, if we look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16, we see that very thing. Now, God is going to place a curse on the serpent, on the woman, and on the man for their disobedience in taking the forbidden fruit. And we see this curse on the woman, which is the focus today in verse number 16. Genesis 3, 16. God is speaking unto the woman. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Here in this verse, we find the word sorrow mentioned two times. It's the same word sorrow that appears in the very next verse, in verse number 17, speaking of Adam, the ground would be cursed for his sake, and in sorrow he would eat of it. It's the same Hebrew root in all three occasions. She would have a difficult experience. Her labor would be different from her husband's, but she would have sorrow in motherhood. You know, isn't that the way? We should just take aside for just a moment and say this. Whenever sin enters the world, sorrow is always on the heels. It's coming. It came for Adam and Eve because they sinned, and it does so for us as well. Well, what kind of sorrows are involved in motherhood? Well, we have the sorrow of bearing children. That's the most obvious. When a woman gets pregnant, eventually she's got to deliver that baby, and that baby is going to be brought forth with great sorrow. Jesus even taught this in the New Testament. John chapter 16 and verse 21, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow. Interesting, he uses the same word. I wonder if he remembered back in Genesis chapter 1 about sorrow in verse 16. I believe so. When she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come. But thankfully, there's joy on the backside. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man-child is born into the world. But the sorrows of bearing children is not just about delivery. Any woman who's been pregnant knows a little bit about this. There are things called morning sickness and miscarriage and roller coaster emotions you can't seem to get a hold of. And a number of other things as well. Each of these things is a result of the curse and sorrow bearing children. Thankfully, motherhood isn't fully overshadowed by the sorrows because of the joy that Jesus mentions here. Once the delivery is over, the child is here, and there's great celebration that a new life has been brought into the world. But this is not the limitations. This is commonly what we think about the struggle of motherhood, and that certainly is part of the curse mentioned here. But there's any mom will tell you there's more sorrows than just bearing the children. It's not just a 9-month journey. If you're a mom, the journey lasts the rest of your life, the rest of your days, not even when the kid turns 18. So there's sorrows in bearing children, and let her be, there's sorrows in raising children. Now, this may be, honestly, the more difficult thing to bear for a mom. Unlike some creatures in the animal kingdom which forsake their young at or near birth, a human mother spends the rest of her days investing in the life of her child. I've been a little curious about that, so I did a little bit of background research about animals and how long they stay with their mom. You know, kangaroos hang out with, Joey hangs out with mom for 2 years. 2 years. That's pretty impressive, right? But they don't take the cake. For the longest momming done in the animal kingdom, it's elephants. Did you know that? No one in the animal kingdom outpaces the elephant. Elephants are weaned somewhere between 4 to 6 years old, and elephant cubs will spend time with their mother up until age around 16. Not always that old, but that's the longest, 16 years with mom. And of course, every human mother has the elephant's beat, and that's a good thing, because most of you as moms have spent 18 years, and some of you were blessed with kids who had aspirations not to leave home for very, very soon, so you spent being a mom till you were 25, 20, till your kids were 25, 26, or however long. And that certainly is the case in some. But because of the extended relationship, there are also extended pains or sorrows in being a mom. I'm thinking of the pains and sorrows of helping toddlers through the terrible twos. And I'm thinking about broken bones and scraped knees and emergency trips to the ER. I'm talking about emotional anxiety as your child struggles to make a friend or gets cut from the team. I'm talking about the emptiness you do feel when the child does eventually leave home and is gone. So what is the cause of all these struggles? Why all these pains in a mom's life? Why does mothering have to be a struggle? And the answer is, in Genesis 3:16, because of Adam and Eve's sin, pain followed. She would remind us, if Eve were standing here and having an interview with me, that she was the cause. It was her fault. It was her fault and her decision to turn back on God that brought all this pain in the world. It wrecked her relationship with God, and it corrupted all that God saw good about motherhood. There's not a person in this room that's not experienced pain, because there's not a person in this room has not felt the pain of her own sin. The Bible says in Romans 3, in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you're a mom or not, male or female today, there's pain involved in life because sin has entered the world and sin is in your life. If there were no sin, you wouldn't be pained. If you had no sin, you wouldn't sorrow. The grief and the pains and the heartaches are almost always related to our own sin or the sin of another person. So because we're sinners, we need help. Eve would be the first to tell you that. Though we have failed God, He is willing to forgive anyone and give any person a second chance. But the condition here is that you'll admit, I've blown it, I've sinned. Will you forgive me? Will you, for Jesus' sake, remove my sin and restore my relationship with God? You know, life can be painful, but it's so much better when Jesus is your Savior. Because you have the hope right now of being free from the guilt of your sin and the prospect of being with God forever in heaven. So regardless if you're a mom or dad, male or female today, the struggles of life were meant to lead you to Jesus and to find Him to be your Savior. Why all this pain? Because you need God in your life who can fix the problems that we get into. Mothering is beneficial. That's clear. God bless them, male and female. Hey, mothering is a struggle, that's clear. In sorrow, she will bear children all her days. Wow. And in fact, verse 16 says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows. Wow, that's part of the curse. Multiplied sorrows throughout life raising kids. But that's not the end. If Eve were here and doing an interview, she'd want one more chance to make a comment, and she'd tell you this: mothering is worthwhile. Mothering is worthwhile. In the very next chapter, verse number 1 is what I call your attention to. We read that Eve conceived a child, and this is what she said, Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's an interesting thing. I've gotten me a man from the Lord. Especially if you know your history of your Bible, she's talking about Cain here, and we think about Cain about just like the opposite of the Lord, but she thinks, at least at his birth, he is from the Lord. She identified that it was God who was part of the production of this child. This is what I want you to see. She is linking up God and the birth of this son when she says, I've gotten me a man from the Lord. In fact, the word or the name Cain in Hebrew means acquisition or possession. Look what I've acquired from the Lord. I've got this child. And you know what? Anybody that's been through the experience of pregnancy and birth does not dispute this. I mean, beyond biology, there is just a miracle anytime a new life appears in the world. And it really is incredible. I mean, I remember those first moments, you know, holding a newborn infant that's been in the world for minutes, rooting for mom and desiring his or her mother, and eyes and hair and tiny little fingers that look almost so fragile that if you touch them, that they might fall off or get broken. How incredible that is for a new life. And Eve would tell us, man, when I had a baby, I got to partner with God. And you know that is. In mothering, that's what I'm doing. I'm partnering with God. It isn't all about me. It isn't just me and my husband. It's me, my husband, and God. God has given us children. And some people know that well. They've not had the privilege of having children. They've had a husband. They've had wife. And try as they might, they don't have children. Painful thing. God is in the chemistry of that. So Eve would say, if you're a mom, don't you forget it. Mothering is worthwhile because I get to partner with God in procreation. I get to be a partner with God. How neat is that? Man, me and God, I'm doing something with God. There isn't anything more rewarding or fulfilling than to be on God's team doing God's thing in God's way. And Eve gets to do that, and so does every mom. This isn't the only time that Eve brings attention to God in the birth of a child. We see it again at the birth of Seth. And this is in the end of chapter 4, Genesis 4, verse 25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Now look what she says. For God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. What's she saying? She's bringing up God again. She's partnering with God in children. Children don't just happen then. They come because of a mysterious human-divine partnership. What I'm trying to say, if you understand this, is that raises the value of every single life, no matter what shape or condition it comes. Because a life is not just a man and a woman or a product of evolution. It is the accomplishment of a creator God who decided to give life to that womb. Amen. Life is important. Every single life. I thought about that this week. If Eve suddenly showed up, if even somebody 100 years ago showed up in our modern era and saw our modern laws and saw our modern way of doing things, would they just not just be like totally appalled? I think Eve would just be astounded, shocked beyond horror to think that she got to partner with God in the birth of these children, and then some moms don't even want them. What a trial, what a trouble in our culture today. But she knew that her children were from the Lord, and so are yours, and so are mine. Someone would say, but you don't know my children. My little Johnny's got a devil. I don't have a little Johnny, but I do have a little devil. Several little devils in my... I know what you mean. But did you know that the Bible says, not just about Eve's kids, but about your kids, that they really are from God? They really are from Him. Psalm 127, verse number 3. Is that coming up? There we go. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It is a blessing to be a mother. It is a blessing to have kids. And every Christian couple, if they're able, ought to strive to have children. Because I get to partner with God in filling up the earth, which was the original command given to man. But there's more. Partnering with God is great, so let's double the blessing. A mom gets to partner with God not only in procreation, but also partners with her in salvation. Partnering with God in salvation. Some scholars believe, so I have at least one friend on my shelf who suggests this. Verse number 1, Adam, this is chapter 4, verse 1, going back to the verse on Cain I mentioned a moment ago. The verse reads, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So the debate is over the preposition here, from. Who cares about a preposition? Well, it can change a nuance, all right? It could be read this way in the Hebrew, I have gotten me a man, even the Lord. It may be, I can't prove it. I wish were Eve were here, I would interview and ask her. It may be that she was thinking, I have gotten me the man who is the Lord, who's coming to redeem mankind. Now, where in the world would she get the idea that her baby could redeem the world? She had already encountered God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Do you know this verse? Let's look back a page. She's already had a conversation with God in which her sin has been confronted and her life has been cursed because of it. But look at verse 15. When speaking to the serpent, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. God was setting up that there was going to be a controversy between snakes and women for all time. All right? Snakes, women were going to seek to crush their heads, and the snakes were going to seek to bruise the heel of the woman or mankind. That's ultimately a pointing to the fact that one day God would send a seed from the woman who would crush the serpent's head. And that old serpent, the devil, did have his head crushed the day Jesus Christ died on a cross 2,000 years ago and paid for the sins of the world, liberating all of humanity from the tyranny of sin and opening up the highway to heaven. Jesus Christ did that. He is the seed of the woman. And it could be that Eve is thinking, already God has sent me the Redeemer. I have gotten me a man from the Lord. Then he turned out to be Cain. Didn't quite fill the expectation we had for him at birth. But if so, she's thinking that way. She's thinking, I'm not only partnering with God in procreation, I am partnering with God in the salvation of the world. And you know what? To a certain degree, every mom is that way. I don't know about you, but I learned my first lessons about God from my mom. And I don't know about you, but it was my mom who carried me by the in her arms to church across the street when we went. And when I was old enough to walk, she grabbed my... she had 5 kids in 3.5 years, if you don't know the story. So she'd gather us all up and, you know, kind of like a hen with her covey of quails and lead us across the street to church. It was my mom that introduced me to the Lord and the Savior. Yeah, moms play a great role in here. So I get a mom gets to be a partner with God in the procreation of children and in the salvation of those children and the furtherance of godly offspring on this planet. What an immense privilege. Mothering then is worthwhile. This really is a neat twist. One more thought and I'm through, okay? And isn't the Bible fun? I mean, I can't just... Anytime I study, I just learn new things. Here's a neat twist. A woman messed up things in the garden, ate the fruit, convinced her husband to do the same thing, and all of mankind fell into sin. But years later, God would take another woman and he would produce through her the Son of God who would save the world. So any criticism we could give to the woman for messing things up, the Virgin Mary saved it for motherhood by providing for us the Son of God, Jesus, God and man in human flesh, dying for my sins so I can live again. Wow! Only in the mind of God would God let a woman come back in and fix things after she'd messed it up. That really is a neat twist. How good is God? Mothers do play a key role then. And if Eve were here, she'd say the same thing. She'd say mothering is beneficial. And mothering is a struggle. But mothering ultimately is worthwhile. That should raise the estimation, the value of every mom in this room. You have an important role to fill. And for any of us who have a mom still living, raise our estimation of our mom so much so that we let her know today, this week, how much we appreciate what she did. In 2004, you ever watch Antiques Roadshow? Yeah, isn't that an incredible program? Every now and again, we flip the station and we end up there. You know, and you find these bizarre things that look absolutely tiny and they're worth like thousands of dollars. In 2004, they ran an episode. I didn't happen to see this one, but they had a painting from Anna Mary Robertson on the program. Now, most of you don't know Anna Mary Robertson by that name. You know her as Grandma Moses. She was born before the Civil War, but after the Civil War, and when she was getting up in years, she began painting, and she had this very simple style about her. And it just so happened that people began to appreciate the style of her painting. And while they were interviewing before, you know how Antiques Roadshow builds you up, you know, about talking with the people and getting the background. They asked, where did you acquire that? And he said, well, we actually were neighbors to Grandma Moses. And my mom bought several paintings from Grandma Moses, especially in her early days, because she didn't think her paintings were worth hardly anything at all. So he says, the man being interviewed said his mom probably got most of the paintings for $10 a piece from Grandma Moses. So then what did the appraiser in Antiques Roadshow say about this painting? Well, he said that painting today is worth $60,000. And here's the painting he had on the program. Quite a trade in price. Grandma Moses did not think of her works as being very valuable, so she parted with them for next to nothing. And it may be from time to time, young people, kids, you don't appreciate your mom from time to time. But as the years go by, and as you appraise her from a different perspective, you'll find her price still is far beyond rubies. May God help us to appreciate the gift he gave to us. Father,